Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. We have a number of visitors with us today. We're glad you're here. Among our visitors, Letha and I are enjoying the presence of our son Chad and his wife Jennifer, and five of my great-grandchildren. Now, all of my grandchildren are great. I hope yours are too. But anyway, we have Annika and Josiah and Caleb and Katya and Gideon visiting with us today. Jennifer's been here for about 10 days, I guess. Chad got here yesterday from Ishinomaki, Japan, and we've been enjoying having them in our home. They're leaving this afternoon for Jennifer's family. A reunion is out in Colorado, so they won't be here the rest of this week, but we'll see them again a time or two during the summer. We understand, so we're looking forward to that. Brother Joe remarked a while ago that today is a very special day for them. I think you said it's your 56th wedding anniversary. Congratulations to Joe and to Ruth for that. And he also said this is the first day of summer and it's Father's Day, so you cannot lose today, right? So we want to honor Joe and Ruth for that. Leith and I celebrated our 50th anniversary last Friday, so we kind of in that same ballpark there. I'd like to take just a moment to honor the dads who are with us today, because you know if there's ever been a time when it was critical for fathers to step up and take their responsibility, I believe that time is now, don't you? And I don't want to be discouraging or depressing, but it seems to me that our world is becoming more and more and more unraveled. And we need fathers who know what their job is and who'll roll up their sleeves and go to it, because this world's in trouble. And if you're a Christian doing that, well, that's even better, isn't it? I heard about the little boy who was asked about Father's Day, and they wanted to know if he knew what Father's Day was. He said, well, that's kind of like Mother's Day, only you don't have to spend as much on the gift. And a lot of fathers are saying, what gift? You know what dad spells backwards, don't you? Well, I throw that in there to give some of you something to do while the rest of us work on the lesson. I want to share some words from the scriptures today, words that I believe are particularly appropriate for today, the Father's Day. Listening to the Word of God is kind of like letting our Heavenly Father share some of His wisdom with us. Sometimes I find myself wishing that I could sit down with my Father again. But those days are gone. But fortunately, we can all sit down with the Heavenly Father and benefit from His mind and heart. And we can do that again and again and again. Isn't that good news? I'm sure that almost all fathers have said these things at one time or another. I grew up hearing them. My children grew up hearing at least some of them. So listen and see if maybe you remember a few of these from your father. It's okay with me if it's okay with your mother. Or this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Amen. Quiet, I'm watching the ball game. Or you kids are having too much fun in there. Somebody's going to get hurt. Don't forget to check the oil. Which we did. Be sure to bring back all the change. How should I know? Ask your mother. You think I'm made out of money? When I was your age, I walked 5 miles to and from school each day, and it was uphill both ways. You are going, and you are going to have fun. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Don't put your feet on the furniture. Your mother will kill you. Get down before you kill yourself. On second thought, go ahead. Quit playing with your food. Be quiet. Can't you see that I'm trying to think? Why? Because I said so. That's why. If you don't quit that, I'm going to call your mother. And this is one of my favorite ones. You better quit that. You better quit your crying or I'll give you something to cry for. I never really did understand the logic, but I used it. And finally, just wait till you have kids of your own. Makes you wonder why we bothered to say anything, doesn't it? If that's all we had to say. I guess since we were dad, we felt like we had to say something. So that's what we said. Yeah, well, maybe if we didn't say anything worse than that, we didn't do too badly, do you think? But that's where the Word of God is so, so much better for us. Because it comes to us from the mind of someone who's had all eternity to express perfectly what he wanted us and what he knew that we needed to know. So this morning I want us to look at four things said by our Heavenly Father that may give us who are dads some help and some encouragement. And the first passage that I want to share with you is found in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1 and verse 17. And it comes in that context where the angel Gabriel is appearing to Zechariah, who is serving as a priest. And this angel has come to tell him that his prayers and the prayers of his wife, Elizabeth, have been heard. They've been praying for a child. Now, verse 7 tells us that both he and Elizabeth were up in years, and she'd been unable to have a child. But now, past almost all hope, they would have the joy of having a son. And the angel says, beginning in verse 13, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." And here's the thought that I want to share with you fathers today. "And he will go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." I'll leave that there. You're probably aware that those are words that actually come from the fourth chapter of the book of Malachi. And in that passage, God was talking about the coming of Elijah before the great day of the Lord. And obviously then it became a prophecy concerning the work that would be done one day by John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. But in connection with those words that are found in Malachi, as well as here in Luke chapter 1, and I've read some interesting explanations as to what he was saying. In Malachi, he says he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He's going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I'm not sure exactly what all of that means. I'm not a scholar. But it seems to me that the idea that makes the most sense is that God knew that when fathers kept their children in their mind and in their heart, when they were cognizant of the fact that they had a responsibility to the generation that was coming after them, that it would be a good thing. You see, John's job was to awaken people's minds and hearts to the coming of Christ. And nothing makes you realize your need for help and for forgiveness than seriously, I mean seriously, taking on the responsibility and the challenge of being a father when you're trying hard to be a good father and you realize you're not doing a very good job of it and you need help and you need forgiveness because, oh, you're messing things up sometimes really bad. Many a man's life has been radically changed by those words. You and your wife are going to have a baby. And suddenly things take on a different value to us. Sometimes priorities get shifted around. I've often observed that God didn't give us children just so we could teach them, but because He wanted those children to teach us. Teach us some incredible lessons as well. I mean, when I struggle with my role and my work as a father, I think I learn something about God. I learn something about His love and His patience and His desires. And I'm humbled by everything I don't know. That I need to know because I'm trying to bring these children up to the very best of my ability. And oh, how I'm reminded almost daily as a father of how inadequate I am for that job, for that role, or that work. And I make a lot of mistakes. And no one needs a father like the one that we have in heaven than the fathers who are upon the earth who are taking their job seriously. And when we strive to be a better father, it helps us be a better Christian, you see. And when we're a better Christian, it helps us be a better father, I think. Well, I hope you didn't find that too difficult or too hard. You know, a lot of times on Father's Day, we beat the fathers up pretty badly. And I didn't want to do that this morning. So let's take a look at a second text of Scripture. And I think this one's especially made for you fathers. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's read this together. Where God is speaking to the Israelites through the prophet Moses. And he tells them, George, you got those on the screen. Thank you, George. Let's read this together. This is from the English Standard Version. And it probably doesn't say it any better than the one that you're using, but this one just happens to be the one that I'm working with, and so we'll read it together. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that the days, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, says the Lord, as the God of our fathers has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And so, fathers, I just ask you, will you do that? Will you do what God said there? Will you try to keep God's word all the days of your life? Would you just do this much? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and with all of your might. Will you do that? And will you teach your children God's word? And I realize you may not be teachers. You may not feel like, well, I'm not a teacher. But you're the best teacher they've got. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't do it, it won't get done. So you've got to try. And I realize you may not know everything, but you know some things, don't you? And so you can teach what you know. And if you really take the job seriously, you'll get in and you'll learn more. You'll study a little bit more. You'll find out some things that you can share with your children. And I don't mean for you to make sure that somebody teaches them. I'm talking about you, Dad, the father. Will you do that? Will you teach your children? They need to hear from you. It belongs to you. It's your job. And you do an injustice, I believe. You do an injustice to those precious gifts that God has given you, your children, when you do that. Nobody can do it. Nobody can do it better than you, you see. And if you find yourself really struggling with it, that's a good thing. It is. It's a good thing that you have to work at it. They're worth all the work that you can put into their lives. Maybe that'll draw you and your Heavenly Father a little closer together, you see. Well, that's two texts. We have two more. Two more things that the Lord has to say to fathers that I believe are worth considering. Look in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And some of you already know where I'm going, don't you? This past Friday, Leith and I quietly observed 50 years of being husband and wife. And the children are planning something a little bit noisier next month. But with Leith being pretty much immobile and in a lot of pain, quiet is good. Quiet is good for now. And I share that to say that one of the most important things that God wants every father to keep in mind is that it is so important for them to keep their love for their wife before their children. Keep that love burning strong before the eyes of your children. Look at verses 25 through 33. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 25. Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And in the same way, husbands should love their wives." Yeah. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. "He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Because we're members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, he says, "Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." It's sad to say, but it's true, that the world is full of married couples who are living more like married singles, aren't they? Sometimes we'll go out to eat, and we'll see a couple come in, and they'll be seated, and then they'll order their dinner, and they'll wait for the dinner to come, and then they'll eat their dinner, and then they will get up and they'll leave without hardly even speaking a word to each other. Whatever happened to that thrill? Whatever happened to that joy and that, whatever happened to that pleasure that comes from being together and being able to share everything with them? I think about those times at the wedding when that young man and that young woman looking at each other with bright eyes and full hearts full of anticipation and joy and hope. What happens to all of that? Certainly one of the benefits, I believe, of the gospel is that it reminds us that husbands and wives are to love one another. That ought to be one of our hallmarks. One of the things that characterize us as Christians, because we have a burning love for our mates. And don't tell me, when you've been married as long as we have, I've been married as long as you have, and longer than many of you. And I don't think there's any question, in our hearts at least, that Leith and I love each other more today than we did when we first married 50 years ago. We have more joy and more pleasure. Yeah, it works that way, you see. We have more today than we did 50 years ago. But I'm going to tell you something. We worked at it. It didn't just happen because I'm such a lovable guy. I am a lovable guy. But that's not what happened. And it didn't just happen because she's such a loving wife. She is a loving wife. But that's not the reason. And the reason why we love each other today more than we ever have is because both of us are convinced that that's what God wants us to do. And what He wants, we have learned, is absolutely the best thing for us. And your children, they need to know that, don't they? And they need to see it. And they need to hear it. Don't let godless Hollywood teach your children how to love a woman. You do that, you fathers, okay? And there's no shame in that, for heaven's sake. God gave you your wife so she could help you. And you love her a little bit more, and she'll help you a whole lot more. That's what I've experienced. And I'm so glad that we have God helping us. And then finally, if you would, and that's the word you were waiting for, wasn't it? Finally. Would you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 and verse 32? I read this last week as I was working on the lessons for Luke in our study of the greatest story ever told. And you know, there are just some passages that from time to time jump out at you. They just grab you, don't they? And you see something, you realize something that you've never seen before. You know you've seen it, but you've never seen it. You've never seen that. And so the light comes on in a way that it never did. And that's what happened to me last week. And I thought to myself, I've got to share this with the people with whom I worship. Look at it, Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. It's in a context where Jesus is teaching those who want to be His followers. And of course, that's us, isn't it? And He said all of that other stuff about not being anxious about your life and about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and all of that and how God takes care of the lilies. And if He did that, He'll do that for you. He'll take care of you even more. So you can be sure He's going to take care of you. All you have to do, He says, is just seek first His kingdom. And put Him first, and everything's going to be okay, He says. And it's not going to be just okay. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be incredible. And then He says in verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." You understand what Jesus is saying? He just told them to keep seeking the kingdom. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't trade that for something else. Why? Because it's your Father's pleasure. That's what gives Him pleasure, is knowing that one day you're going to receive the kingdom. It's like when your dad brought your son that new wagon or that bicycle for Christmas, and you got it all together finally the night before. And you couldn't wait to see your son's eyes when he came into the room and looked at that Christmas tree. And there it was. And that's your heavenly Father. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Has he got a Christmas morning prepared for you? He wants to see your eyes go, whoa, when you see what he's got to give you for all eternity. Your eyes are not going to be big enough to take it all in. That's the truth. Suffice it to say, it's going to be infinitely greater and better than anything you've ever imagined it would be. And I know that's true because the Bible tells me that, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul said, what no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, it's never even entered into the mind or the imagination or the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for him. So go ahead and let your mind run wild with what God has got prepared. You'll never even match it. And I know that passage is not just talking about heaven, but it includes heaven, doesn't it? And my point is this. I want you young people especially to listen to this. And maybe some of you not so young people. That's what every good father wants for his children. All he has ever wanted. The reason why he did what he did. And even the reason why he disciplined you for heaven's sake. And it was for heaven's sake, wasn't it? He's doing that because he wanted what was best for you. Now I know that there are some dads that were not that way. And I'm sorry about that. And I'm sorry that sometimes I wasn't that way either. But I tell you, in our better moments, that's what every good father, and I think even most of those who weren't all that good, that's what they wanted. And that's what they want for their children. God just wants you to have a life and have it abundantly. And I hope that you'll remember that and take that with you. Well, I hope your fathers didn't find that too hard. I hope your fathers get a lot of honor and attention today. And that you won't feel like I beat you up too badly. But, you know, if there's anyone here today who realizes that there's something between them and their Heavenly Father, I can't think of a better way to use this day. I can't think of a better way to honor your Heavenly Father than by coming to Him and saying something in the sense of whatever it is that you really need to say. But if you've been putting off your obedience to Him, don't do that anymore. There's no reason to do that. And if you've been disobeying Him, if you've been doing things you shouldn't have been doing, and maybe refusing to do the things that you should, then don't be afraid to get with Him and say, Father, I'm ashamed of that, and I'm sorry about it, and I'm going to change. I want to make some changes. Because you see, you've got the absolute greatest Heavenly Father that one could have. And He really does want you to make His kingdom your eternal home. We're going to sing a song. It's a song of encouragement. And if you want to respond to the Father's goodness this morning for any reason, if you're not a Christian, would like to become one, or you've been a Christian but you haven't been living the life that you know you're supposed to live, and you want to ask God to forgive you, He will. He says He will. He said that He can do that justly because of the sacrifice of His Son Jesus. So if you need to respond this morning for any reason, will you come while together we stand as we sing?